Welcome, you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives. And ultimately, answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with the power duo, Suzanne and Stevie Hendrix. Many of you seem to know Suzanne and Stevie because you requested they come on the show. But for those of you who haven't heard of this incredible couple, Stevie and Suzanne are globally recognized digital creators who have spent almost a decade in the online space connecting with millions worldwide. They have a wildly popular podcast, The Good Life, with Stevie and Suzanne, where they encourage their audience to live life and love to the fullest. Stevie and Suzanne are on a mission to share with their community, heartfelt and honestly, how they found the secret to living the good life. And that's just what they've done for us today on Hope Still Wins. In this episode, Suzanne and Stevie and I talk about Suzanne's faith journey and blending different cultures. Also, we talk about pivoting roles and partnership. And finally, we talk about letting go of dreams and dropping labels, which is one of my favorite topics to talk about because I believe we can all relate with that, is changing and pivoting from our dreams and our goals and also releasing the labels that the world has placed on us, that we've placed on ourselves, that others have placed on us. I think this podcast is going to be for you if you've related with any of that. And for this week's weekly question, the team and I would love to know here this question. What does the good life look like for you? I invite you to respond on Instagram at Hope Still Wins in the comments or direct message us. I'm excited to hear your responses because there are so many ways we can choose to live this life. This podcast will help us do that. Now, many of you wrote in to answer the question proposed in episode 6 with Michelle Williams, and I want to take a couple of moments before we jump into this week's episode to share a few of your responses. As a reminder, the question was, how do you check in with your mental health? Well, Marlene shared this. She's going to celebrate recovery and talking to her accountability partners and sponsors. Now, that is something incredible, right? I mean, the community that those people bring around us, the way that we can connect with those that we've asked to hold us accountable, but also the people that we've let into our life in a vulnerable way, allow us to live a deeper and fuller relationship with them. And then as a result, hold us accountable, which is something that's not always easy to do, but something so beneficial to do. Derek B. said, choosing to be honest and vulnerable with one of my closest friends. I come to them when I feel low, and I have given them permission to approach me if they feel something is off. It gives me peace knowing I don't have to struggle alone. Derek, that's something that I have done about a year ago. I have a close group of friends. I've asked them to come into my life, to support me, to hold me accountable, to talk to me. I know it's a safe place then because I've already opened up the door. You know, I've already opened up the place to have that relationship go a little bit deeper. And so when they do come to me and say, hey, is everything okay? I know they're not doing it from a place of judgment or criticism, but instead doing it from a place of love because I've asked them to. Maybe that's a practice many of us can do. It helps me stay again, not only accountable, but it also keeps me knowing that if I have some blind spots, that they would bring it to my attention so that they're blind no longer. Because I believe we can only heal and fix what it is we recognize and see. So thank you for all your responses. It means a ton. It was a very vulnerable week with the answers that were written in, and we appreciate all of it at the Hope Still Wins community. Well, all right, it's time. On this week's episode, here is Suzanne and Stevie Hendrix. Suzanne and Stevie, thank you so much for joining us at Hope Still Wins.
What's up, Ben?
What's up? Well, last time we talked, We were on a conference for Sadie Robertson. It was a great conference that was virtual, so we actually weren't talking to anybody but ourselves. But it's the first time I was able to meet you two as a couple, and that's why it was so important for me to have you here on Hope Still Wins.
Oh, that was fun, man. That feels like that forever ago. We were all in quarantine. Remember those days?
Oh my gosh. We were podcasting out of my parents' like side house in this echoey room. You know what I mean? Mm. It was just, we were throwing everything together and it was 2020. She was pregnant. We have a 3-year-old, you know what I mean? So it was just chaos. We finally have a house now. So it's nice to talk to you in our own domain.
Right.
That's it does feel like a long time ago. I'm wondering how many people out there listening too just feel like if you really mark the start of quarantine, which, oof, you know, it has been a bit of a time, but like all the things that happened in the midst of that, all the moments of growth. I remember everybody talking about their new hobbies. People were trying new things. We were doing virtual conferences. Well, now we're able to actually start to get back out into the world. And that's really how I want to start this conversation with you two. You two have been making a difference in your circle for a while now. And you just mentioned a new project that you're working on that I think is a great entry point to start here. You're kind of revamping what has always been known in your relationship and coming together as one. And I want to just hear from the start, why is that important to you two now at this stage in your life to come together as one?
Mm. Ooh.
Look at that. Look how we started this
thing out. We're kind of coming
straight
back
to it.
We're kind of coming back to like where everything kind of took off for us. You know, Susanna and I's story is that we both moved to LA with dreams of doing our own thing, right? We were both like Enneagram 3. What's interesting is that now I'm an Enneagram 2-3 and she's a 3-2. And
you don't know what an Enneagram is. You got to go on Google and take the test.
Gosh. Are you deep in this, by the way?
It really is spot on. It's a personality test.
I just wrote an endorsement today for a new book coming out for Enneagram 4s because I'm a 4. So I feel like the weirdest dude in the world most of the time. and it's great for me because for so long in my life, I thought I was just weird. And then the Enneagram kind of shows me that, no, this is like when you're unhealthy or this is like where your mind will usually go. And it's allowed me to have a lot more confidence. So I do know of it.
Oh, I love that you know that. But yeah, we were diving into that too. And I'm a 3-wing 2 and he's a 3.
He's a 2-wing 3. But where things started is we were both like 3s. We're like, we're moving, you know, which is the achiever, right? If you don't know what it is, it's like the person who's like, I'm going after my goals. Like that's number one. Mm-hmm. And I remember before we got married, I told my dad I wanted to propose and I was out working in this job where I was kind of traveling around and he was like, you need to quit the job and go back to LA and start working with Suzanne. You know, her career was starting to take off and he was like, and she needs your help. And she asked you to work with her. He said, you need to lay down your dream of being an actor and support this girl who's basically about to tell her family about you. And our story is that Suzanne's parents always said, don't marry outside of the culture. Mm-hmm. And so to do that was a big no-no. It meant disownment for her. It was a big problem. So it was a huge step of faith for her. He was like, if she's going to do that, then you need to be her biggest support. And so for me, it was like, okay, I need to learn how to become a 2. And so it really though, it forced Suzanne and I to become a great team. And it was at that time when we started working together, right before we got married, we really just saw our relationship just take this wonderful form. We were no longer competing with one another, but we were supporting one another. One person was thriving, the other person was holding them up and vice versa. Like we would just take turns doing that. And that's kind of like,
and what we were doing at that time was, you know, he wanted to do acting and I thought I wanted to do entertainment news. And it was during the time of, you know, the rise of social media. It was before the term influencers was even a thing, but we saw this opportunity. We saw this white space at the time and we decided to jump into it. I had this small little blog and I knew I could take it to the next level if I had someone who could help me along the way with the photos, with the email management, reaching out to brands, trying to really make this a full-time job. So Stevie definitely stepped up to the plate. And in that season, it really allowed us to grow in so many other ways behind the scenes as we were fighting for our relationship and we were truly learning how to become one. So going back to your question, you know, we have been in this space for almost a decade. I mean, I feel like a dinosaur saying that. We're 31 years old, but
we're still young in these streets.
We started this like almost a decade ago. And, you know, we it was until 2017, we just were feeling like it was always about us, right? Social media is like very self-promotion. It's very much like, look at me. What am I doing? What am I building? What am I growing? And we reached a lot of really cool metrics, accolades, grew a following and all of that. But then somewhere along the way, we realized this isn't enough. We were still searching for more. We wanted more. It was like we weren't content. And I think what we realized was after we had our first daughter in 2017, we sat in the kitchen and I remember we had a conversation and we said, hey, I think our priorities have changed. For me personally, I don't know if I want to keep doing just fashion and beauty and putting myself in a box. My heart has changed. The passions have changed. And Stevie was again, right there by my side. And he said, you know what? I think us searching for more is us realizing we don't want to make this about us anymore. We want to change the way that we're using social media and we're using these platforms. Let's do more good. So that's when we launched our podcast, The Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne. And that's where we've been able to like really have meaningful conversations with people to help people live that good life. What does that mean? And it's just been so rewarding. And we still feel like we haven't achieved the mission yet, right? So that's why we said we need to create our own site. We own it. We can create a safe space, safe community for those who follow our podcast. And that's where we're heading this fall is, you know, stevenson.com is coming and we're going to be creating so many unique experiences for our audience, products and services, and maybe some cozy goods to help people, you know, live that good life.
That's right. So a new website's launching with the two of you together. So I want to ask, I want to go back a little bit then to that decision that you both made to support each other. Was that a difficult decision? You know, and in terms of a lot of people listening are in relationships or they'll be entering into relationships or maybe they're single and desiring to stay single, but choosing to kind of do that pivot in life for what you know is right. How was that process for the two of you?
One way I think about it is like, you know, one of the hardest things I think for guys, I don't know if you agree, Ben, but one of the hardest things for guys is that I've always said like when guys get married, their mindset is I've been got. And when girls get married, it's like, I got you. You know what I mean? And guys, like, we're like, I'm independent. I'm used to doing my thing. I don't want to check in. I want to go out. Like, I don't want to worry about all that stuff. Like, and then we wonder about like, am I going to fail? Am I going to fail my wife? Can I stay married my whole life? Can I run the good race? And one thing that God has kind of shown me over the years is when you grow in love, whether it's you get married or you have a kid, those big things, you're dying to yourself. And it's always a journey away from selfishness. So the more people that you have to put before you in your life, which is truly your wife that you have to serve and your kids, it's a further journey away from selfishness. And so you have to die to what are my desires. And living in LA and pursuing a career in the industry, agents would tell me, you need to be selfish, break up with that girlfriend of yours. You need to be selfish. You need to do your thing. Cause if you want to make this work, you got to do your thing. And so the world is sending us messages all the time. You got to grind, you got to go. Up. And they don't send it as a team message. And what I realized was when we got married and we teamed up, we were a superpower together and alone, we were just competing against one another. Mm. And so that really like was a big lesson. And for me changing from this achiever 3 mindset to a 2 mindset, which is a helper, it was hard for me. Like I had to die. My dreams had to die. But God wasn't saying like, I'm not going to replace those dreams with something even sweeter and better because this is what I called you to do. So even if I called you to do something that was difficult for you, don't you think I have a plan and a purpose for that? And so don't regret, you know what I mean? Dying to yourself. Like your life's not over if you get married, your life's not over if you have kids, it's just starting. And so look at it as like a super team instead of like a ball and chain.
I want to follow up that with one question for you, Stevie. So if we look at the whole picture now, I think this is going to be so helpful for so many. You desired to be an actor. You desired to be in the industry. Everybody was telling you to be there. You had to break up with your partner. I don't know if that ever even crossed your mind. If in your moments of weakness, you're like, yeah, because that dream just feels so good. And yeah, that's what I have to do. But ultimately now you sit in a place where you didn't become an actor. And you, as you said, your dreams had to die. Can you dive into that thought for a second? And then Cezanne, I do want to go back to that question with you because I have a question that was written in that I know people are desiring to ask you, but Stevie, for that moment for you, for so many of us, we've had to lose our dreams or expectations or the labels that have been placed on us, and it's scary. Can you walk us through that?
I always tell, I literally tell people all the time, I'm like, the best analogy for this is La La Land. And I love that movie so much because at the end, if you haven't seen La La Land, it's a love story, right? But it's about this couple where they're going through, have you seen it?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So they're going through the LA journey together. She's trying to be an actress. He's trying to make it in music. Basically, it comes to the point where she wants to give up and he's like, you got to keep going. She lands this huge thing and it sends her career off this trajectory, but it causes them to split up. And you're sad at the end of the movie, but there's a part at the end of the movie where she walks into a bar, she sees him, and the way she's looking at him is like, that was the love of my life, but I'm now married to somebody else. And then it plays this like alternate reality reel of like, had they gotten married, what their life would have looked like. And for me, it answered that question because as I watched that and I saw that she had all the fame that she wanted, but she was still looking at him like, that was the love of my life. Everybody in the audience, I think most people looked at that and go, I wish they were together.
Yeah.
You're happy for her that she was successful, but you look at it and you're like, but they should have been together. That was the love of her life. Exactly. I'm sitting next to the love of my life. Mm-hmm. And so I never for a second regret making that decision because I also fully too know that that was part of God's plan for me. And so he's replaced. It's so funny. It was so hard for me to give up that dream. I wasn't that person who's like, I'm going to try it for a couple of years. I was like, no, this is my life's purpose. And that's what I believed. And so to lose that, I went through like an identity crisis. I was depressed for a little while. I had to find myself and realize God was like, that was something that you were good at, but that's not who you were. I have so much more for you. If you would just open your eyes and trust me and be with me here and now, I can actually bring you more opportunity in new areas. And even in that area, I've had more opportunity as well. So it's just amazing how like when you follow God, it's like he just blesses you. So good.
Are you looking to make a meaningful, lifelong connection with someone who shares your beliefs? If so, then you've got to try Christian Mingle. With over 15 million Christian singles, Christian Mingle is unlike any other faith-based dating site. Their ability to help members make quality connections is what sets them apart. They have robust profiles and personalization features that help you connect with other like-minded members. Plus, their suite of communication tools help you meet more people and make deeper connections. Finding your true love is one of life's greatest adventures. So, discover why so many Christian singles find love at christianmingle.com/hope. That's christianmingle.com/hope. Now, Suzanne, back to you. During this season of life for you and Stevie, as you guys are kind of pursuing your goals and going down this path, what was that process like for you?
You know, for me, I am definitely a hard type 3. I am somebody who can get up and go and I will work into the late hours. But what has been a beautiful hidden blessing in this season of life is that I've become a mother to another daughter. I'm now a mom to two. And it's been a transition for me because being that breadwinner for my family, which I had been, you know, and I am, it was really hard for me to, you know, detach from mom life into work life. So I felt like I've been in this season of just like letting go of the control and just being okay with like having days of the week where I'm going to be drenched in motherhood. Why? Because I personally see that my list of accomplishments and on my list of dreams and ambitions, all of those things, being a mom is up there. And I know that like these times right now are so precious with our girls that like, yes, we're right now in the thick of building this brand behind the scenes. And I'm constantly wrestling with, going back and forth, right? It's like being a full-time mom and being a full-time entrepreneur working for yourself. It's been really challenging. And so I have been feeling like now that we are crossing over into this new brand where it's like Stevie and I together, I have been feeling like I am becoming more of the two now. And I am seeing that, like, I don't want to say I'm fading to the back, but I feel like God has given me the permission to be a mom, to take it easy. I spent all my 20s really grinding it out, building this whole digital career. Didn't ever take a break, really. And now that I'm in my early 30s, I feel like it's reversed a little bit. I have already seen like the opportunities and things that Stevie is working on and the things that he's been able to step up and do. It's like, yes, he was behind the scenes for so long, but now we're kind of like, at times we switch. And I love that because it gives me the permission to relax. And I've just been a little bit smarter with my time. It's like, if I do have that time to allocate to building the Stevie and Cezanne brand that we're trying to do for the Good Life fam that we've built online, I'm now I feel like there's something about motherhood that has made me just never take advantage of that 1 minute you have in the day. And the time that you have to work, focus. And then the time that you're not working, be a mom or be a wife, turn it off, unplug. And that's something I've struggled with being in the social media space. And so, yeah, to answer your question, really, I'm figuring it all out right now in this season. And there's days where I feel like I'm on it. We have just like moved the ball forward and we are getting samples. And then there's days where I'm like, yo, Stevie, I don't think I can step up today. I can't get on this call or whatever. And he's been there, you know, and it goes back to that teamwork environment. And we'd be lying, Ben, if we said that our biggest fights were not about work, because it is like that's what we fight about. People are like, what, y'all ever argue? Y'all seem like you got it all together. Uh-uh. That's the one thing we butt heads.
If you can work together, you can be married.
Exactly. And so we're navigating it all in this season. And it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun not knowing, and just showing up every day and seeing what you can do to, you know, water the seed. So that's kind of how we're taking it right now.
Well, a follow-up question for you then is, you know, you just mentioned it earlier that you entered a career and you built an amazing career in social media, which intrinsically is selfish in a lot of ways. I felt that personally, right? You're taking picture of yourself, you're posting picture of yourself. In your mind, you're going, I want to post this picture because it's going to get the most reviews, or it's going to show the best side of myself. And now you've switched into an incredibly unselfish season of life where you're married with kids. You're building this now career together. So for you, and I always try to do this in relation to everybody listening, because not everybody is going to be able to have the successful social media following that you have been able to build, but they all are running their own races at some level. All of us are running some race forward. So for you to rip and divorce yourself from selfishness, and to like have to like kind of like put it on the countertop and walk away from it for the things now going on in your life, what was that process like for you?
You know, it was that when I had my first daughter, Valentina, our little teeny, it was like, that was when I really felt like I was dying. Like that part of me was dying. Cause I remember I was 2 months postpartum and I go into my filming room to do a YouTube tutorial and I'm doing like this glittery smoky eye. And I'm like, why am I doing, I literally stopped filming. And I just thought, why am I doing this? This is not what life is really like right now. I'm actually drenched in this being a new mom. My boobs are sore from breastfeeding. And I mean, real talk, it just was not reality, but I knew that I had to show up in that room and do it because there was a lie in the back of my head that said, you need to be doing beauty videos because that's where all the money is at. And that's how you're going to be able to feed your family. This daughter that you just had, you have to put her through college and it's all on you because you're the one that has to show up behind the camera and you have to feed and fuel the beast that is social media and YouTube and all those platforms. But I'll tell you something, if there's one thing I've learned about my online community, I never went viral overnight. I never grew followers overnight. It's always been slow and steady. And what I will tell you is the women who have followed me are the same women who, yes, they started out single. And then they got into a relationship. Then they were getting married. They're like one step right behind me. They're like sisters. And as I was sitting there trying to do these unrelatable, like crazy smoky eyes in a season of me having a baby, so many of my followers could sense that. And so many of these women, they were in similar seasons. And I finally realized, wait, I have the permission to not put myself in a box. I love beauty, but there's so much more to me. And there's so much more I want to say to the women who follow me, who come back for more. And that's when I changed my message. And I realized social media is very visual. And for so long, I felt like it was about look at me. And now I was transitioning into like, listen to what I have to say. And the photos are just going to be a part of that message. And so I went on a journey and really had to ask, what is the problem I'm trying to solve in the world? And for anyone who is listening, whether you are have a million followers on social media or zero, I think we need to understand we're all influencers in our own right. Maybe you're the influencer of your household, of your community, of your church, wherever that is. We all have a role to play in the story of life. And I think it's important that we sit and we think like, okay, what is the problem that I want to solve in the world? And I had to think about that. And when I thought about it, it took a lot of strategizing, I realized for Stevie and I, the problem that we want to solve is discontentment. And there really is a lot of that, especially online. And so we wanted to now take that, knowing that we knew our problem, every post that you see now, most like 90%, every podcast we put out, we always think back to that. And we're like, what can we say today that's going to help water this to help heal people who are discontent and unhappy? And I'll tell you, that really helped me with not being so distracted anymore. And now, even if I do a beauty video, I can still encourage women along the way with what I have to say.
I think, it sounds like to me, this season of life for the two of you too, I can just see God's fingerprints in it. Like it was difficult. It was confusing. There was a ripping away, but then there was this like path forward to where you guys are at now. So do you mind sharing a little bit? You've spoken about your walk with God and where God kind of, where you recognized him showing up or recognized God showing up in the midst of this, but can you dive in a little bit of the details to how God has kind of spit you out now and where you sit and what you're looking forward to?
I think where we're at now is, you know, like with social media, it's so hard to kind of keep up appearances all the time, you know, and 1000% be yourself. And so we started the Good Life podcast, which is our podcast, because we wanted to kind of pull back the veil a little bit and be more candid, talk more about the issues that we care about, the things that we care about, our relationship with God. And that's why we started The Good Life, because we felt like there was just too many filters on YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. We're like, let's get real, man. Let's talk about like real life, some of the struggles that we're going through. It's hard to put that in a caption sometimes. So let's have real conversations like this, you know? And the more that we've gone along, we started out in something that's like, was all about image. And now it's more about voice. And so it's about what are you saying? What are you actually doing? And so what we want people to realize is like, with our podcast called The Good Life, we wanted to call it The Good Life. It started out as like, we want to help people live a good life. You know, like I think everyone's searching for a good life, and the good life isn't the great life. It's not the perfect life, right? But it's a good life. And it does solve that issue of discontentment. The good life is I'm content. I'm happy. I'm good. And what we want people to realize is when we were living in LA, we live in Texas. Now we moved back. And that was a hard thing for me because I was like, oh, I always wanted to live in LA and I'm happy here. But we had to realize that there was a lot of smoke and mirrors. You know what I mean? There was like, we go to events and you see all the big celebrities and you understand this, like, and you're like, who cares? I mean, like good for them. Like but it doesn't do anything for my soul. And so it's like Jim Carrey's, I don't know what I'm going to mess it up. Jim Carrey's quote is, I think he said,
everybody would get
right rich and famous so they could see it's not the answer.
Yeah.
And we just had a small fraction of what Jim Carrey has. But even then it's like I tasted it and I could see, I was like, this isn't the answer. And maybe the good life is actually right in front of us. And the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I think God wants us to realize all along, we've created these idols and these things that we think that we need. And we enslave ourselves to an idea of like, if I don't achieve X, then I'm not good enough. that I'm not enough, right? If I don't influence this many people, if I don't make this much money, then my life really doesn't matter. But honestly, I think some of the greatest people that ever lived, we have no idea who they are. And they get to heaven and God is like, you did a great job because you stewarded the things that I put right in front of you. So I think the good life is not about being a celebrity or being known. It's about stewarding the things that God has put in your life. So it's like, if you have a garden outside, what are you doing with that garden? Don't wish I had a better garden. You know what I mean? That I had the garden at Versailles. Look at your garden and think, well, how can I make this the most beautiful garden it can be?
Yeah.
And I think when you start there, then beautiful things begin to grow. But I think that's the essence of the good life and what we want to share with everyone.
Yeah. You know, and Suzanne, you've spoken oftentimes about your story of faith and your walk of faith and how it's formed your relationship, but also formed you as a human. And as we kind of close up here in the last few minutes, you know, hope is the topic of this podcast. And I hear you talk, Stevie, and I hear a great message there for people who are listening, who have, again, zero followers or a million followers, because there still seems as much words as could be thrown out there from people like the two of you who say, hey, fame's not the answer. Like, there's something greater out there. There's a pursuit that fulfills. As much as we say that, it still feels like oftentimes, even in my life, and I do have a million followers, like daily I fall back on this idea of like, but it's not enough. You know, I got to go out. I got to search. And so I say all this to Suzanne, say back to the faith question, when you were asking yourself, when you were feeling like there was something missing and that there was something greater out there, Jesus showed up. Do you mind talking about it?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I'm a Middle Eastern and I grew up in a predominantly ethnically cultural, you can say Islamic, you know, background. My grandparents practiced Islam, but my immediate family didn't. And it just goes back to like in college when I was trying to find myself. This was before I even did any of this blogging stuff. But you know, you hit roadblocks when you have a breakup or you can't figure out what you want to do with your life. And then you reach this place within yourself where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm having an identity crisis. What's going on? What do I do? And in that season of my life in college, I knew that I was searching for more even then because I didn't know who I was and I wanted answers. And it was literally that season when I met Stevie in college. We were both studying radio, television, film at the University of North Texas. And there was something about him. There was this light. And it wasn't even like a romantic attraction. I mean, I thought he was cute with his blue eyes and his freckles.
I didn't drink coffee back then. I had whiter teeth. And that's what it was.
But I mean, there was something about him that was just genuinely joyful. He had a spirit that just, I was just so drawn to that. And I was not happy. And even as a believer now, you know, obviously I gave my life to Christ and in college, and that didn't mean that my life after that was just like, woo, you know, smooth sailing, everything's great. I still feel like I struggle with that, you know, like searching for more. I want to be the best mom that I can be. And it's hard not to look left and right. I feel like there's times where I'm comparing me as a wife to other wives that I know I look at, and I'm like, oh, they're so amazing. I should be more like that. And every time I do that, I always feel like God is stopping me right there. And he's just like, come on, let's get tuned in, right, to what you know is true. And that's the thing is like, I've seen the devil working in my life just as much as God has, and the enemy will always feed you lies. And I've felt that in my career at times. I felt that in my marriage. I felt that in motherhood. But if there's one thing that I know that God has shown me in this season, whenever I'm searching for more, or whenever I feel like I feel shameful or guilty about something, I always feel like God is telling me, hey, I don't need you to sit with me. Because that was a recent thing I felt bad about. I was like, I feel like I haven't really sat down and had my quiet time and gotten into my Bible. I'm just so busy. And then I feel bad that I even said that. And God literally has told me, I don't need you to sit with me. I'm showing you how to walk with me. Let's go. And that's the season I'm in right now, where God is literally like taking me by the hand and he's walking me in directions that I'm just like, wait, what? I wouldn't naturally go there. Like, what's going on here? But sometimes we try to formulate everything in our lives. We try to formulate quiet times. We try to formulate relationships. And I think, yes, being intentional is important, but it's also, there's something about spontaneity and just saying like, hey, I'm ready, God, whenever you are, you're the captain of this ship. Let's go. And that's kind of been my testimony through it all. From college to now, I've just seen myself always on that ship. And I'm just constantly seeing like me trying to touch the steering wheel of the ship, and God's got it, you know? And I'm just learning that in every season, that God's going to take me no matter what. His will be done. And I don't need to lose sleep over me trying to steer the ship. And so that just gives me this peace, and it brings me this joy. And I'm okay not knowing what tomorrow is going to bring because of that.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drink is going back to make the world a better place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways, and like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee. Well, speaking about evil and where evil shows up, one of the final topic I want to talk to you both about is singleness. Because a lot of people that follow you admire relationship, and they say, oh my gosh, they got it all together and look at them, you know, happily in love, yet they're sitting there single. And I'm speaking to the people who are single and desiring to enter into a relationship, because I know there's people out there who are choosing, hey, I want to be single forever, and that's great. But for those who are single and desire a relationship, what would be your advice as a couple to them after years of marriage?
Man,
I feel like we get asked that too on our podcast a lot.
I think my personal like journey was, I just had to come to a place where I was like happy with myself, with my life. Like, you know what I mean? I literally had to become content with my life. It's so funny. As soon as I was like, I'm happy, just me. And that was it was a journey to get there. I wouldn't say it was a struggle. I mean, I guess it was a struggle at times for sure. You know, I was a little bit of like an emo guy, not emo, like, you know, or the bangs and the black shirt, but like, I was just, you know, it was a little bit more emotional. And I was just like, oh man, when am I going to meet my person? And I don't know. I think I got to the place where I was like, you know what? Like, I'm happy. I'm content. And I feel like there's like a fullness. There's a completeness and a wholeness that God wants to bring us to before we meet that person, because I think that's the best launching off pad. So many times, like, I'll hear single people, they're like, where is my person? You know, and I'm like, I get that. I've been there, but like, what are you doing for you? Like, how are you working
on preparing your heart?
How are you preparing yourself right now? Like, what are you doing? And are you loving this season of your life? Because it's going to change. Trust that. Everybody tell, they're like, you're going to be married, Blair. Like, just slow down. Like, it's all good. Like, relax, you know? And then you get married and you're like, dang, I remember when I was single, I could do whatever I wanted to do. But now it's like, dang, you know?
That's right.
Yeah. And so that's my biggest advice is like, learn to be content where you are. Cause as soon as that happened, I literally had that thought. I was sitting there, we were in college, and I was like, I'm happy right now. I'm good with me.
I know. And that goes back to that later, joyful spirit. I was like, what? There's something about that guy that's just exuding this light. And I was drawn to it. Right. And I just second everything that Stevie just said. And I think for me, when I was single, I had it all messed up. I didn't realize that, like, okay, you've got to really get grounded and get good within you and within yourself, and then go out there and find that best person. There's a quote that says, like, be the person that you want to marry. And I was not tracking with that. I thought, I need to fill this void. I just got out of a breakup. And so for me, it was just like, I need to find and search for answers. And it was in that season of singleness when I opened my heart, and there was Jesus. And it was like a love story journey now with God. And then God had to sort of like help me in that season get to that place that Stevie's talking about, to then where I felt like, you know what? Okay, I think I'm ready to just start putting myself out there. But at the beginning, I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was like the only way to fill a void is by finding somebody else to fill it. And then I realized, wow, that means like my foundation of happiness is being put on people. You know, if a foundation in a home needs to be perfect so that when the wind and the waves come and the house doesn't come crashing, when the big bad wolf knocks, that foundation of happiness has to be perfect. And let's face it, nothing, no one, and nothing, nothing's perfect in this world. So we have to look outside of that. And that's when I knew the foundation of my happiness needed to be solid. It needed to be built on a rock. And that was when in God and getting to know Jesus, falling in love with Jesus. And for me, getting grounded in that truth. And after that, it's like things start to water that foundation and everything grows from it. And when Stevie and I are having the worst day in our marriage, we know when the storms come, we have that to stand on. That is so solid. And we can turn to God. We can bring God in the center of this relationship. And that's why we've really like, I think everything that we do and talk about, it always points back to God, because honestly, I do not know how we would be sitting here today if God wasn't in it with us.
The storm came this morning at like 4:30 a.m. My daughter came downstairs and I was like, not tonight. Please don't do this.
Oh gosh, she keeps waking up and sneaking
and
in
our room. I'll tell you what, I am unholy at that hour. I say the worst things that come to my mind. God help me.
Lord, give us strength. But yeah, that's important, I think. And just to encourage any of those single women out there who might be searching for more, I say, check in with your foundation, figure out what is that solid center in you and that truth.
The interesting thing I just want to reiterate and mirror off what you just said that I think is so that I'm learning and I wrote down right here in my notebook is going back. It's really cool to see the two of you combine this to be something incredibly special together, because Stevie, you're talking about, hey, being content in this season of life, finding a joy and a happiness at where you're at. And Suzanne, you're saying the same thing, but in addition to that, where are you building your foundation? And I think so many people out there single right now are going, hey, I look forward to that day I find my partner, that everything is going to be fixed. But yet there's no promise to when that will come. Like there's no timetable to when that might happen. And so what I see in that story is a value in a human being to say, no matter where you're at in life, no matter what stage you're at in life, you matter so much that like we need you present in this season. Even if it doesn't look ideal to you, even if you're wishing you had a partner by your side, because you matter so much that we can't lose these years of your life wishing and waiting. And I think that's such a good message.
Okay. That's really powerful. Yeah.
Now I got that from you guys. So thank you for that.
Man, you gotta enjoy life. That's what I'm learning. Like it just goes so quick. Like just enjoy your life. Like our friend's dad, he was over here. He's like 70. He's hilarious. He's this old Jewish man. And he's always like going on about like, he's kind of like a woe is me person, but in a funny way, you know? And he comes over to me and my friend, he's like, boys, let me tell you, enjoy your life. Because I used to worry about all this stupid stuff. He goes, you know, when am I going to eat? And what am I going to wear? And how much money am I? He's like, don't worry. Enjoy your life. You're young. And I was like, all right, I got it, Marty.
Yeah.
Marty, he's the best.
We just need it. We need people present and active and asking this question that Suzanne asked a little bit ago, is what is the problem that I want to solve? Well, two last questions for you two. The first one is, I'm about to get married in November to my beautiful fiance, Jessica. And I wanted to open up the space for a few minutes to hear any advice that you have for somebody entering into a season that will look different, that will not be easy, but that we're both very excited for.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to say...
You go first. I got guy advice. You got girl advice. So,
okay, I'm going
to
say...
Actually, you can give advice to Ben because you probably would give better advice than me.
I'm going to say pick your clothes up off the floor. No, I'll just say that, you know, you guys are entering this season where you're going to come together as one, right? And I found that the first 6 months after we got married were actually the hardest, and nobody really tells you about that. And not to let that discourage you, but you're really learning how to mesh, right, in this new way. It's like there's something that comes with those vows and just really putting that ring on it. I mean, I don't know what it is, but you will be challenged. And I say when those challenges come, you know, communication is key and making that intentional time. Because yes, when you're together and you're married, it's easy to just kind of get comfortable and do your routine. But I think it's important to set intentional time together once you're married to continue to water your marriage, right? Some people think when you're married, that's it. There's the work. It's done. It's going to be what it is, but it's a constant thing that you're watering. And I remember we just set some intentional date nights in that rough season so that we could really figure out like, okay, I thought I knew you in this department, but I don't. There's like really cool marital exercises and things that you can even incorporate and do on like a little napkin. But then I will say, if you guys are thinking about having kids, one of the best pieces of advice I ever got was you can't win every battle, you know, in parenting, but the battles that you guys together as a married couple decide to fight, those battles, you have to win them. So know that you're not going to win every battle, but the ones that you choose, like, yes, we're going to win. We have to win this one. Just really like communicate that and stick with it. So for us, it's really like a lot of technology devices with our 3-year-old right now. We're like at restaurants, yes, but at home, we're on the same page, right, babe? No, right? So that's really important, I think.
I think too, I've got three like big things that I would love to like say to any person who's about to get married, especially for guys. My number one thing, domesticate yourself. I'm a domesticated man. We're wild animals out there. We don't know what we're doing. Throwing stuff.
Not everyone's wild, okay, but okay. Hey,
most, no. Yeah. And I've said this, there's men who are domesticated already and you're off to a great start. You're going to have a nice first 6 months. Okay. But like, we're like wild animals. It's like bringing a scruffy dog home and it's like, look what I found. You got to bathe them. You got to clip them. You got to do some work. You know? So if you can bathe yourself before you get married, do you see what I'm saying? That's all. That's number one.
See, Ben's a type four though. I feel like he's got that under control.
Type fours might have that all down pat. Uh-huh. And you're already, that's a head start. Number two, I would say, pursue your spouse. Like, you just got to pursue them like you're dating. I think that, you know, marriage can literally become like fine wine, but also that wine, if it's not cared for, can also spoil. So you could have this spoiled, nasty grape juice, but then fine wine is kept, right? It's kept and it's cared for.
Right.
And if it's kept and it's cared for, it turns into fine wine as opposed to some old disgusting sour grape juice. And that's literally the difference. Like my friends will sometimes complain to me and I give them tough love about marriage because I'm like, well, what are you doing about it? Like, you're not happy about X, Y, and Z. Like, what are you doing about it? Even like when you become married, your physical body, it's a challenge to just even that mentality of like, I'm no longer just being physically fit so I look good. I'm being physically fit so I'm healthy. But like, so I also like am appeasing my spouse at a certain level. It's not about being ripped, but it's just like keeping up your physical form. It's like, what are you doing about it? Like, how are you investing in your marriage?
Mind, body, spirit.
And so I just think it's so important because when you're dating, right, you're like, whoa, I got to look my best. I'm going to the gym. Like, don't stop that stuff when you get married. Pursue your spouse even in that way. Yeah. Like, that's even a way that you can pursue your spouse. And so that's the other piece of it. I had a third one and it flew out of the door. I don't know. I got lost at the wine analogy.
Lots of date nights.
I love that one.
Oh, here's a good one. This we thought was so silly. And we did this like whole little premarital counseling online. But it was like, decide the chores that you're going to do. And we were like, we're going to split. It doesn't matter. You know, you take out the trash. I take out the trash. It's weird. You have to know. Because like couples will like just be like, nobody wants to do the damn laundry. Sorry. But like, nobody wants to do the laundry.
I hate the laundry.
And then the other person's like, I don't want to touch the trash ever.
Some people love laundry.
So that's a good
one. I like taking the trash out.
I think it's great. Well, and I think all of those are helpful. Jessica and I have implemented a date night from the very beginning. It was one of her major rules with us is that even as our relationship progresses, we're going to have date nights and we have them and we like get really excited for it. And I like, there's butterflies.
That's so sweet.
And I hope I hope that part does never stops. I hope we never stop getting like some type of nerves around a date with each other. Well, the two of you are always great. And we greatly appreciate the two of you, but we're going to end with a question that we always ask every guest. And I'm not going to pick and choose how you answer it. You can answer it together. You can bounce off of each other, whatever you want. But here's the question. Do the two of you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not?
Wow.
I'll go. Somebody asked me a while ago, they said, why do you get up in the morning? And I said, hope. That was my answer, because I think hope is why we all get up in the morning, because there's always hope deep down for a better day, a better tomorrow. You know what I mean? There's hope for the good life. I mean, if your life is good, there's hope for the next, you know, whatever God has next for you. And so I believe without hope, you know, we really are lost. It's like, why are we trying to move forward? But there's always hope of better, you know what I mean? And of good, and of seeing the good around you. And so I just encourage everyone to hope, but also too, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. You know what I mean? The things that you hope for. And I've seen in my life and in Cezanne's life, the things that we've hoped for, sometimes they come at a cost, but you don't want to pay the cost. Like, you don't want to move from LA and you don't want to stop pursuing your dreams because you don't know like what God has behind that door.
Yeah.
But the things that you hope for, like, pursue them and pursue them with a passion, because if you don't, your heart will grow sick and you'll become an old man or an old woman. And you say, you know, I really wish I would have gone after the things that I hoped for, you know? And so that's my advice, is start living today and living, you know, and pursuing those things.
So good. And I'll just add real quick that, you know, you're never too old or too young to live and breathe and have a hopeful spirit. You know, sometimes it's a decision. I've seen in seasons where I've just really struggled to see the light at the end of a tunnel. Sometimes it's about just speaking it out loud anyways and saying, like, today I'm going to choose to walk through this day with grace, knowing that for me, God has already walked before me and he's paved the way, and I'm just going to follow his lead. And that just gives me this hope, even when it's hard to see it in the flesh, right? So I just want to encourage anyone and everyone that, yeah, we all had a rough 2020, didn't we? Like, as a world, as a society. And I feel like now we're seeing the light, and that's just an example and a testament right there that hope never dies.
Well, thank you again. And please, anybody listening, look for the launch of Stevie and Cezanne's new website. It's coming together. It'll be announced, I'm sure, on both of your social media accounts. So you make sure to go out and follow the two of them. Also, if you like podcasts, and I hope you do if you're listening, because you're listening to this one, The Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne is out. How often do you come out with a new episode?
Weekly.
We're on an 8-week break right now.
We're re-rolling
old episodes, but we've got some really great ones that we're rolling through right now. But we'll be back for our third year, August 1st. So we're excited.
That's a big deal. Well, yeah, so go out, listen. You can catch up now with all the old episodes. But until then, thank you too for coming on Hope Still Wins. It means a ton to all of us.
We had a great
time. Ben. Thanks, Ben. Appreciate you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. And as a reminder, our question from this episode is, what does the good life look like for you? We're eager to hear your answers and invite you to join us on Instagram to share your thoughts and continue the conversation. We'll be choosing a few of your responses to share in a later episode. Well, hey friends, that's it for today. It's been great talking to Cezanne and Stevie and getting to share it with all of you. Thank you again for tuning into Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and I'll talk to you next week.